Welcome back to TechNet Radio. In part 12 of their Building a Private Cloud series, Keith Mayer and Young Cho explore the world of hybrid cloud scenarios using Windows Azure Virtual Networks. Tune in as they walk us through some common scenarios where IT pros may find it more appealing to deploy a hybrid data center solution as they explain what components are required and how to build out and configure both your cloud and local networks. Keith, the mic is yours.
Hey everybody, welcome back for another episode of TechNet Radio. We're in episode 12 of Build Your Private Cloud, and today we're going to be talking about hybrid cloud. Actually, over the next couple episodes, we're going to be talking about hybrid cloud. Today we'll be talking about building a hybrid network infrastructure and what that's all about. And then in our next episode, we'll be talking about managing it using System Center 2012 Service Pack 1. My name is Keith Mayer. I'm a senior technical evangelist at Microsoft in the U.S., and I have with me again my good friend, Young Cho. Hey, Young, how's it going?
Hi, Keith. Hey, everybody. This is Young Cho from North Carolina. Hi there.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us again today, Young. You know, Young, we've been using this slide to kind of explain the concept of private cloud over the last several episodes of taking our infrastructure and being able to use a set of best practices and approach and a set of tooling in terms of System Center 2012 to be able to better manage that environment in a way that's aligned to business priorities and also create an environment that's more elastic in terms of scaling up, scaling down, and updatable. And along the way, we had talked about our physical infrastructure that we bring in as our fabric. So those could be, as we looked at in the prior episodes, could be compute hosts that are running inside of our data center, running Windows Server 2012, Hyper-V, our free Hyper-V server, or they could be running VMware ESX or Citrix Zen Server, bringing those into VMM, bringing our storage, bringing our network gear into VMM as well, all of our data center components. But up towards the top corner of our slide, we have this other aspect called that's labeled as IaaS, or Infrastructure as a Service. And that relates more towards public cloud offerings that provide a fabric that we can leverage without having to necessarily build all of the capacity inside of the four walls of our data center. And so that's really going to be the focus today, looking at how we can start our private cloud inside of our data center, like we've been talking about throughout each of the episodes in this series. But then as we have capacity needs or disaster recovery needs or internet scale needs for internet applications that would make it valuable to have some of those application workloads running off-premise, perhaps up in a public cloud offering like our Windows Azure cloud, we're going to be talking about how we implement that, how we can leverage that as a kind of a common set of fabric components in our environment, and then in our next episode, how we can manage it. Well, Young, when you think about hybrid cloud, what are you hearing from people about hybrid cloud? Is there a lot of interest in those types of cloud models?
Well, I'll tell you what, these days when you hear the term hybrid, it suggests it's better, it's faster, it's green, you know, so it's more like a leading edge type of thing. Well, in fact, you know, in the cloud computing, the hybrid cloud, yes, it's pretty exciting. However, many people just mistakenly say, okay, hybrid cloud, it's a one cloud, two cloud, you blend it together. It's really not that. What we're saying is really you have probably something that you deploy off-premise, right? So you probably have an on-premise private cloud, and then you have an off-premise resource that perhaps deploy, for instance, to Windows Azure. So that makes it a hybrid environment. The hybrid environment is exciting, and I'm so glad we finally come to this point. Now, let me make a statement on the slide. This slide is really important. This slide tells you the whole story of cloud computing, of the private cloud. It gives you the requirement, the process, the tools. This is the process. This is the roadmap. This is the strategy. So I think IT professional, if you are engaging a conversation on building a private cloud, you have no idea where to start with, you should come back to the slide, right? And identify those key areas that you can zoom into and and talk with substance. So this slide is really important, and I'm so glad every time you bring back to the slide, and you know, so we can kind of refresh and re-emphasize that, okay, where are we in the process, right? And so I think that that's something that's consistent, and it also inconsistent with the cloud we're building, because cloud is to identify the pattern, the process, and then applying it. And I think that's what this chart is about as well.
Definitely. Yep. And so in this episode of our Build Your Private Cloud series, we're going to be looking specifically over in this section of our diagram, looking at the fabric and how we can combine our physical and virtual fabric components that are running in our on-premise data center with an infrastructure as a service public cloud offering like our Windows Azure offering. And as you had mentioned, Young, a lot of people, when they think about the term hybrid, you know, out in the industry just broadly, it's seen as being oftentimes associated with something that's better and faster. It's combining really the best of both worlds into a single solution offering. And that's really what we infer with hybrid cloud fabric as well, in that we're taking a private cloud still. It's private because it's resources that are virtualized and secured for use for our organization only, but we're leveraging the benefits of our on-premise data center with the extra burst capacity, the internet scale, the storage capacity of a scalable cloud fabric platform like Windows Azure. And so when we think about leveraging these together, we still have a private cloud, but that private cloud potentially now consists of an on-premise set of fabric components and a public cloud fabric set of components that we're combining together. And the way that we do that with Windows Azure, for instance, is by taking advantage of a capability of Windows Azure called Windows Azure Virtual Networks. Windows Azure Virtual Networks allows us to primarily focus on two areas that are really valuable when we're building a hybrid cloud fabric. One area is that it allows us to build up in Windows Azure multiple virtualized subnets that themselves can conform to an overall address space that we can easily route to from our on-premise data center. So the first piece is that by building out these virtual networks, it gives us the ability to provide a predictable set of IP addresses that we can then assign to virtual machines that we're deploying up in Windows Azure. The second big aspect that Windows Azure Virtual Networks provides us is a secure way of connecting those virtualized subnets back into our on-premise data center. Windows Azure Virtual Networks provides a site-to-site IPsec VPN tunnel capability, where up in the Windows Azure cloud, it'll actually spin up a couple virtualized VPN gateway appliances that are used to establish a site-to-site tunnel back to a VPN gateway or firewall that's sitting on our corporate network on-premise. Once that's all established, our connection to Windows Azure looks from a network perspective just like any other wide area network connection on our overall enterprise WAN. It looks like a remote data center that's sitting out there, but it's a remote data center that has burstable capacity that we can use to elastically expand when we need more capacity. That capacity could be compute capacity, it could be storage capacity, or it could be network capacity. Maybe we're deploying some applications that we wish to make available from the internet, and we want to leverage the broad internet connectivity that's available through the Windows Azure public cloud, rather than bringing all those internet connections back through our on-premise firewall and have to look at expanding our on-premise internet solution. So it gives us a lot of capabilities for being able to, as a hybrid cloud fabric, leverage the best of both worlds. And I really think that that's a strong differentiator between the way that you and I within Microsoft and many of the IT pros look at private cloud as a combining the best of both worlds versus what much of the rest of the industry looks like, looks at from a cloud perspective. You know, a lot of other players in the cloud are looking at strategies that basically tell IT pros, you're going to be building everything in the public cloud. That's where we want you to be. We know that that's not practical, right? We know there's certain applications that either because of the importance they play to your on-premise infrastructure or because of latency requirements or data sovereignty or security needs, you'll continue to run some of those application components on-premise in your data center. But at the same time, there's some really strong use cases for not running everything on-premise. For instance, when you're talking about creating a backup strategy that has backups going off-site, taking advantage of backing up to Windows Azure is a great way of being able to do encrypted off-site backups. Disaster recovery is another key area that I see a lot of excitement from IT pros, where, you know, if you have a site-to-site connection to an off-premise data center up in the cloud that's secure, you can start thinking about placing components like Active Directory out there and have a domain controller replica. You can start thinking about placing components like replicated file servers and whatnot, SharePoint servers and SQL database servers that are you can fail over to if your on-premise infrastructure or data center ever becomes unavailable. And then certainly for pilot, dev, test environments, hey, it's a lot easier to spin that up on Windows Azure when you need it and spin it back down when you no longer need it. It's a pay-as-you-go model, so you're only paying for the resources you need when you need them instead of having to invest in a full-time set of resources in your data center where you have to commit to a huge capital expense for resources that you may only be using a couple months out of the year. And then the fourth area that I see as common use cases are being able to take our internet web applications and putting those out in Azure as well so that we can take advantage of the high-speed redundant connectivity that Azure data centers have globally from the internet. So I see a lot of strong interest around the hybrid cloud because it allows us to leverage use cases that make sense on an environment-by-environment basis, where they can take advantage of resources either within our data center or within Windows Azure, but combine them all together into one secure private network fabric that we can manage with System Center 2012 Service Pack 1. Well, Young, I've been talking quite a bit about hybrid cloud. As you can see, I'm really excited about this area. But what do you hear from your IT pros about hybrid cloud? Did these scenarios resonate with a lot of the people that you talk to as well?
Oh, absolutely. This virtual network is a killer. It's a killer app. And, you know, you think about all this complexity, all this equipment, all that, and today it's in Windows Azure, and you can set this up really relatively easily. And once you have this virtual network in place, you have IPsec tunnel into Windows Azure. Essentially, your Active Directory, your domain, has now expanded to Microsoft Data Center, right? And once it reached Microsoft Data Center, all service level agreement that we will honor. And it really gives you so many different options now, right? You talk about the backup restore. You talk about the setting up development there. You know what? Disaster recovery, many people, when they run an IT shop, you know, you walk in and you ask them, do you have a disaster recovery plan? Now, chances are they probably don't have it. If you get lucky, they say, yes, we do. And then if you ask the next question, have you tested? right? Because the reality is it's cost perhaps prohibitive to test it. And sometimes it's technically just not feasible to actually do a disaster recovery, because someone, you know, all the transaction and all that, you just cannot be able to really duplicate entire environment. Now, with Windows Azure and with the virtual network, there is a possibility. There, you know, if you carefully design your network, carefully design your application, there's really many, many different options now on the table, and you can have a really viable disaster recovery plan and facility in place, and you can actually test it and make it happen. I think that's just very exciting.
Great. Awesome. Well, in order to set up a scenario like this, there are a few components that we want to plan out first. One of those components is our IP addressing scheme. And we'll want to understand how IP addressing works within our on-premise environment so that we can choose a compatible IP addressing scheme up in Windows Azure for our virtual network that we can easily establish routing relationships back and forth between Windows Azure and our on-premise data center. So in our scenario, we have an on-premise network that we'll say is using an overall IP address scheme of 10.1.0.0 with a /16 mask. So 10.1.anything, we'll assume in our scenario, is some device on our on-premise network sitting in a particular subnet. Inside this address space, we could have a bunch of different subnets, right, within our on-premise network. But we'll, from Windows Azure standpoint, we'll say, if Windows Azure needs to route to 10.1.anything, it's going to know that it needs to route that across this site-to-site tunnel. Well, in addition, up on the Azure side, we need to determine what address space we want to use up there. So we'll say that we're going to use, in our scenario today, an overall address space of 10.2.0.0 with a /16 mask for Windows Azure. And that makes it really easy for updating our routing rules on-premise, because now we can just set up our routers so that they know in order to route to 10.2.anything, they should send it over to our VPN gateway across our tunnel over to Windows Azure. In addition, within Windows Azure, we can have some additional subnet boundaries within that address space. Just like in our physical on-premise environment, we may have multiple subnets within our physical address space. So in our scenario, we'll be subnetting out our overall address space into a couple different subnets. We'll have a subnet where our web-facing servers are running. We'll have a subnet where some of our core data servers are running. And then we'll have a subnet where our VPN gateways that terminate the site-to-site IPsec tunnel will also be running. So we're going to split out and have three different subnets. Now, when we set up the site-to-site VPN connection, Windows Azure will provide us with virtual VPN gateways that run up in Windows Azure for us automatically. So there's some magic involved there where it'll automatically spin up some VPN appliances as virtual machines, essentially, in an active, passive, highly available configuration. And that will be the Azure end of our site-to-site tunnel. But on-premise, we will need to have some type of VPN gateway. It might be a firewall that supports IPsec VPN tunnels within our on-premise environment. It might be a dedicated VPN gateway appliance. Or it could be a Windows server running our RAS and having IPsec connection rules set up for it. But it needs to be some type of box that has VPN gateway capabilities for building a site-to-site IPsec VPN tunnel. So we do need that component on-premise. And the external interface of that box does need to have a routable IPv4 public address assigned to it. So it can't be sitting behind a NAT firewall, for instance. It needs to have a routable IPv4 address on its external interface. Once we have all that base planning work done, we know the IP addresses for our corporate network, we know the IP addresses we want to use for our Windows Azure virtual network, and we have our VPN gateway devices identified for our on-premise, we're ready to begin building out our virtual network. Well, Young, what do you say? Does it make sense to step through the process of building this scenario in Windows Azure?
Well, before we do that, just to make sure we understand the requirements. So on the on-premise side, I need a VPN endpoint device, I need a public IP, and on the Azure side, I just need to have a valid subscription.
Yep, exactly. Right?
So I just need to have a subscription, and then I can use Azure Virtual Network and to configure this whole thing. So the Azure subscription is a key that we need to get, and then with the on-premise VPN device and a public IP address, we can make all this happen.
Yep, definitely. And as far as the Azure subscription goes, you can make it really easy to get started by signing up for a free 90-day Windows Azure subscription. If you go out to our Channel 9 page, there'll be links for signing up for that subscription, or you can go to either Young or my blogs to find those links as well. And for 90 days, have a free Windows Azure environment that you can use to build the scenario out, test it, prove it, and then convert it to a paid subscription when you're ready to bring it into production use.
Yeah, I tell you what, if you can make this happen, Oh, hey, I'm just going to get into the subscription right away. This is too good to be true.
It is pretty cool. Well, let's go take a look at how we can build out this configuration easily in the Windows Azure Management Portal. Well, Young, so we've been talking a lot about hybrid cloud and building out this scenario. Let's get started. I'm going to start off on the right side of our scenario. And first, we're going to build out in Windows Azure our cloud network. That's going to be our 10.2.0.0 address space that we're going to chop up into three different subnets for web and for our core services and for our VPN gateways. We'll actually come back around and see where we plug that piece in as well. So let's go out to the Windows Azure Management Portal. I'm just going to switch over to the Management Portal. And if you haven't seen the Windows Azure Management Portal before, I think you're in for a treat, because it's an HTML5 JavaScript portal that's built as a very modern web application. Because it's built using HTML5 and JavaScript, it'll run on any modern browser, ranging from IE 9 or 10 to Safari or Firefox or Chrome. Basically, anything that supports HTML5 and JavaScript will run fine in this browser. The management portal is your initial screen that you'll see when you sign in to the Windows Azure Management site after activating your Windows Azure subscription. And as I mentioned, there's a free trial for 90 days that you can take advantage of that we'll be talking about at the end of this presentation. And as we look at the Windows Azure Management portal, you'll see on the left side of the portal screen a navigation bar that has a variety of different resource types associated with it. So we can build virtual machines in Azure, we can build storage in Azure, cloud service applications, networks. We want to be on the networks tab of that navigation panel. And this is where we'll go to build our virtual networks, our on-premise network definitions, and our site-to-site VPN tunnel. So on the Networks tab, you'll see that I've already got a couple networks that are set up for other environments that I'm routing back and forth on-premise over to Windows Azure. We can have multiple virtual networks defined, each with their own site-to-site VPN connection. But let's step through the process of creating that new virtual network. So remember, we're going to be setting up that CloudNet with the 10.2.0.0 address space for use up in Windows Azure for running virtual machines in the cloud. So in order to create a new virtual network, I'm going to go down to my bottom toolbar, click on the New button, swing over to Virtual Networks, and then select the choice to custom create a new virtual network. Now, in my virtual network details, it asks me for a descriptive name of my Windows Azure virtual network. So I'm just going to plug in, just like we had on the slide, CloudNet as the name of my Windows Azure virtual network. And then it also asks me for something called an affinity group. Well, an affinity group is just a descriptive label that we give to a virtual network that's going to be associated with a particular Windows Azure data center region. Now, we've got data centers all over the world in Windows Azure. We've got data centers in 84 countries worldwide. And what we've done is we've organized those data centers into different regions. So normally, you'd want to pick a region that's going to be close to where your business is located so that you have low latency for routing traffic to and from the Windows Azure cloud across that site-to-site virtual network. Well, I'm located in the eastern U.S., as is Young, so we'll select the eastern U.S. region. And to make that association to our virtual network, we'll just define a descriptive label for this affinity group name that makes an affinity relationship between our virtual network and this data center region. So I'll just call it CloudNet Affinity Group. I'm going to go ahead and click my next button, and here's where I define my virtual network, address space, and subnets. So remember from our slide, we wanted to use 10.2.0.0 as our overall address space. And if I click on the CIDR box up on the top, I'll get a view where I can select my particular subnet mask. So I'm going to use 10.200, we said with a /16 mask, and that'll give us an address range of 10.2.anything as being a routable internal address range within our Windows Azure virtual network. Now, we also had a couple different subnets that we wanted to build on our Windows Azure network. We had a web subnet, so I'll go ahead and key in that name, and we had that with a, we wanted to position that as a 10.2.1.0 subnet within our address space, and we were using a /24 mask. So 10.2.1.anything is going to be a VM that's on our web subnet. We also had another subnet for our core data servers. So I'll put those on the core subnet. And you'll notice that as I start adding additional subnets, Windows Azure's pretty intelligent. It figures out our overall addressing scheme, or tries to, and then it tries to help us follow that same pattern for additional subnets. So it automatically plugged in 10.2.2 with a /24 mask, and I could keep adding additional subnets as well as I go along. Now, the reason that I may want to create multiple subnets up in Windows Azure is I may have different security needs around my web servers versus my core data servers. By placing them on different subnets, I can set particular firewall rules on my site-to-site VPN gateway that I have on-premise, and I can also set particular firewall rules within the Windows firewalls of the VMs that are running on the web and the core subnets to isolate their traffic back and forth. So I can use these subnets as a form of security boundaries by leveraging the subnet ranges in my firewall rule definitions within my Windows firewalls inside each of the VMs, and also within the firewall properties of my on-premise VPN gateway. Now, down towards the bottom of my Create a Virtual Network page, we also see a graphic depiction of my Windows Azure CloudNet and the two subnets inside of that. It looks pretty basic right now, but as we start building things out, we're going to see this grow in size and go across the bottom of our page to describe our overall virtual network that we're building in this hybrid cloud network fabric scenario. So far, what we've built, let's just go back to our scenario here, is we've built out our CloudNet. We've given it an overall address space of 10.2.0.0, and we created, so far, two of the three subnets within our CloudNet, 10.2.1.0 for our web servers and 10.2.2.0 for our core data servers. This third subnet for our VPN gateways will actually be built out when we start building out our IPsec site-to-site VPN tunnel. And that's really the next step of building out our tunnel and setting up the defining the local address space that our tunnel should route to from Windows Azure for reaching our on-premise network. So let's do that next. We'll build out the definition of our local network, the on-prem net, the address space that we'll want to route to for reaching our on-premise network, and we'll build out an initial configuration of our VPN gateways. So I'm just going to switch back over into our Windows Azure management portal and click the next button. So when we click the next button, on the very next screen, you see a couple fields of information. One field is DNS servers. As we place virtual machines on our Windows Azure virtual network, they'll get an IP address from the range within the subnets that we've defined. So if we place a VM on our web subnet, it'll automatically get an IP address that's in the 10.2.1.x subnet boundary. If we place it on the core subnet, based on our previous definition, it'll give that VM an IP address that's within our 10.2.2.x subnet boundary. In addition to giving IP addresses to these VMs, we can also give them a DNS server address to do name resolution against just by defining a DNS server. When we define a DNS server, we basically specify a descriptive DNS server name, So we'll just call this Windows Azure DNS01. And then an IP address. It could be an IP address that's within our Windows Azure cloud. It could be an IP address that's a public DNS server. Or it could be an IP address on-premise that we wish to use across the site-to-site VPN connection that we wish virtual machines in Azure to use for doing DNS resolution. So we'll say that we'll make it an IP address within our core network. So we'll say 10.224 is going to be a VM that we're going to place on the core network to do DNS resolution. We'll just add that in. We could add additional DNS servers as well, just like in the on-premise world. You can have multiple DNS servers for failover capabilities of name resolution. Now, in order to set up that site-to-site tunnel and our VPN gateway and our connection to our on-premise network, we need to make sure that under the connection portion of our page, we check the configure a connection to the local network checkbox. When we do that, that's where it's going to ask us for the gateway subnet information. So this gateway subnet information, we just switch back to our scenario for a moment, is asking us about this subnet. It wants to know on which subnet in Windows Azure is that VPN gateway going to get placed. So in our case, we want to tell it 10.2.0.0 with a /24 mask is the subnet that we want to place all of our Windows Azure VPN gateways on for this virtual network. So I'm just going to go back over to my management portal. And we'll plug in, that's it, that gateway subnet value, 10.2.0.0 with a /24 mask. We also need to configure the local network properties. In other words, where is this gateway, the site-to-site gateway, going to connect to? So under local network, I can specify a new local network. And when I click my next button, I'm asked for the properties of that local network and its address space. So now what I'm asked for is a descriptive name that I want to give my on-premise local network and the overall address space that I want my Windows Azure virtual machines to be able to route to for reaching that on-premise network for any devices. So we're going to call this on-premnet. And we're going to give it a local address space of 10.1.0.0 with a /16 mask. So let's go back over to our Windows Azure management portal and enter in those values. So back in the Windows Azure management portal, I'll configure my local network as on-prem.net for a descriptive name. And plug in my initial address space, just like we had in our scenario slide. Go ahead and add that in. If I had additional address spaces that I wished Windows Azure VMs to be able to route to across my site-to-site network, my site-to-site VPN connection, I could add those in as well. In our case, in our scenario, we just have one address space. The last thing I have to fill out is the VPN device IP address. So I have to tell Windows Azure what the public IP address is for my on-premise VPN gateway. So if I switch back to the scenario slide, you'll recall that we said that on-premise, we did have a couple requirements. In addition to knowing our on-premise IP address space, we did need to have a VPN gateway or firewall of some type that supported industry standard IPsec site-to-site tunnels. We also had to have a routable IPv4 public address on the external interface of that VPN gateway. So what Windows Azure is asking me for is, what's the IPv4 public address on the external interface of our VPN gateway? Well, in our case, let's go ahead and plug that in my data center environment. That IPv4 address is 135.1.1.2. That's my VPN device IP address. So I'll go ahead and plug that in. Now along the way, what you'll notice is that my network diagram down towards the bottom has been getting updated. I've now, not only do I have my Windows Azure virtual network and individual virtualized subnets defined, I've got my local on-premise network depicted, and I've got my site-to-site VPN gateway connection. Remember, there's two sides of a site-to-site VPN gateway. There's the Windows Azure side, where it'll spin up the virtual appliances for hosting its side of the VPN gateway itself. And then there's the on-premise side, where I need to have my own on-premise gateway or firewall device that can do an IPsec, that can terminate its side of an IPsec VPN tunnel. I also have my DNS server information that I previously supplied for any virtual machines to receive that I place on the virtual network. Well, I'm pretty much complete with my initial definition now. I've got my virtual network on the Azure side configured. I've got the definition of my local network configured, and I've told it how to get to the VPN device I have on-premise. I'm going to go ahead and click on the complete button. And inside the Windows Azure portal, you'll see it start creating my virtual network, my cloud net. Now, it does take a little while for it to create that cloud network. And in a moment, it should be completed. I'll go ahead and acknowledge that my virtual network is being created. And you'll see that in just a few moments, my cloud net is now listed with a created status. Well, if I drill into the properties of my cloud net, in the Windows Azure Management portal, I can click on my dashboard tab, and it'll show me that while my virtual network is up, my VPN gateway is not yet. That's because the VPN gateways themselves are deployed as virtual appliances. And I need to tell Windows Azure now to use the definition that I created inside my virtual network and deploy those appliances on my virtual network. I do that by clicking down on my toolbar on the Create Gateway button. It'll ask me if I'm sure I wish to create my VPN gateway appliances up in Azure. I'll click the Yes button, and now it'll begin creating that gateway. And that process will take a little while, so while that's working through that, I'm just going to switch back and show you a prior virtual network that I had completed the setup on, and Windows Azure has completed the deployment of that gateway, of those VPN gateway appliances for me in my Windows Azure cloud. So I'm going to go over to this other network site-to-site definition and of a virtual network, and I'll click on my dashboard view. And what we'll see in our dashboard view is that we have our network configured, we've got our gateway up and running, and we've got the other side of our virtual network connection in a connecting state. That's because over on our on-premise network, we have a little bit more configuration work to do still. You know, over in our scenario, Windows Azure has deployed our virtualized VPN gateway appliances and configured them for us for its side of the site-to-site IPsec VPN tunnel. However, over in our on-premise world, we still have some work to do in our VPN gateway. We have to manually go into the configuration of that gateway, tell it about this new IPsec tunnel, and tell it the public address of the Windows Azure side of that VPN tunnel. So I'll just go back here and show you where we can find that information to configure our on-premise VPN gateway for. So I'm going to switch back over into our Windows Azure Management Portal. In order to configure our on-premise VPN gateway and get it to go from a connecting to a connected state, we need to have a couple pieces of information. First, our on-premise VPN gateway needs to know the public IP address of the virtual VPN gateway appliances that we've deployed up in Windows Azure. When we come into this screen, it'll show us the public IP address that Windows Azure is using for the external interfaces of those virtual appliances that are running on our virtual network. So that's one piece of information that we need to pull in to our on-premise VPN gateway configuration. We also need to tell our VPN appliance how to authenticate that new IPsec tunnel. Well, in Windows Azure, we use pre-shared keys as our authentication mechanism for IPsec site-to-site tunnels. In order to see what that pre-shared key value is, I can click on the Manage Key button down on the toolbar. Here I have my pre-shared key. I can copy it to my clipboard and paste it into my on-premise VPN device configuration as part of building out that new IPsec tunnel definition. But it gets even easier than that. If I go down to my download button on my bottom toolbar, I can specify the name of the vendor, the platform, and the operating system of my on-premise VPN gateway device, click the OK button, and it'll automatically download to me a pre-configured configuration script for that particular appliance and operating system version release that I can then merge in along with my public IP address information and pre-shared key information that we saw on the screen prior. I can merge that into the on-premise IPsec tunnel definition of my on-premise VPN gateway and help to expedite setting up this new IPsec tunnel definition without having to manually key all that information in. So I'll just go ahead and click OK, and what Windows Azure will do is it will allow me to download a VPN device config script. I'll go ahead and click OK. I can open it up in Notepad, and you'll see that in this case we've got a config script for a Cisco ASA that I can go through the process of customizing based on business and technical requirements that I may have from a security standpoint for my organization, as well as adding in the gateway IP address and pre-shared key that this particular connection would need for connecting to the Windows Azure virtual appliance. Well, Young, I've been talking for quite a while. What do you think so far, though? Pretty straightforward process that we're stepping through from a Windows Azure management portal perspective?
Well, compared to if you do it the other way, that's going to be a 3-month project, right? And this is like all happening right in front. Yes, this is all happening right in front of our face. Just the user experience, just incredible. How much that going through this 5-minute, 10-minute routine, that how much has been done compared to if you do an on-premise deployment and then you try to connect, establish a site-to-site IPN connection. I mean, all this different hoops you have to jump through, and this is everything's virtual. I do want to ask you a few questions because I think IT Pro probably will have the same question as well. Is if you go back to the slide that you show the logical construct of it, and so you allocate a store address space on the Windows Azure, right? And in this case, it's 10.2, and yes. Then you specify different subnets, right? Either you're doing to better manage or isolate traffic, or based upon business unit or what have you, but you allocate different subnet. Now, what happened if another user, they also use 10.2. Would that be an issue? Should I be concerned if I'm running a 10.2 address space there? Will other people see my stuff?
Good question. And actually, no, because there's no worries in that area. All of these virtual networks that we build on Windows Azure are completely isolated to just our subscription for Windows Azure. So we can build a 10.2 based Azure virtual network, and it's all encapsulated and virtualized by the Azure platform so that we don't have to worry about conflicting with any other Azure subscriber that's building a virtual network that overlaps with this address space. They're completely separate virtualized network address spaces, and we don't have to be concerned with any other subscriber being able to see our address space because we've got a Windows Azure firewall and a load balancer that's protecting our virtual network from the public internet, and we don't have the exposure of this internal address space anywhere outside of our virtual network definition.
And I guess that's probably why from the get-go you said it's a virtual network, not just network. It's a virtual. And you also used the keyword isolation. I think that's really important. You're isolated. So as far as this 10.2 subnet is concerned, it thought that it is the world. It is the you know, it is all the network that it knows. And so that's a very important concept. Another thing is doing this is incredibly easy to do. And I really encourage IT pro out there to try this. You won't believe it. And this can all, you know, all happen within hours if you carefully plan it. If you do have a public IP that's available for you to test it, if you do have a VPN device, you should try it. You just need to get a Windows Azure subscription, and then you can use the entire basically Microsoft data center as your backyard to do whatever you need to do. I think this is pretty exciting.
Yep, definitely. So, hey, Young, we just finished up our Windows Azure virtual network definition on the Azure side, and I took that config script that we downloaded along with the gateway IP address and the pre-shared key. I went over on-premise to my VPN gateway and configured that, brought that IPsec tunnel up, and now you'll see our results. So now we've got our site-to-site VPN connection up and running. We've got it green on our on-premise side. We see the data in and data out incrementing that is being transferred across that, and it gives us the ability now to go through the process of placing one or more Azure virtual machines on that virtual network as we create those new virtual machines. So I've already got a couple virtual machines that I've placed on the virtual network, and they'll be able to route traffic now across that virtual site-to-site VPN connection into my on-premise network. So pretty easy compared to what I would have had to do in the physical world for connecting two sites together, building out multiple subnets, and building out a routed infrastructure. Pretty easy to do with Windows Azure and my on-premise network. Well, Young, what do you think? Was that process end-to-end pretty straightforward?
Oh, this is a killer app. This is a killer app. And also, more significantly, with this IPsec site-to-site connection, we are now basically extending our Active Directory. Now can extend that all the way to Windows Azure. And basically, you know what? Windows Azure is part of the Active Directory domain. I mean, how cool is that?
Yep, definitely. And actually, Active Directory is the first thing that I frequently see IT pros put in place up in Windows Azure as a VM once that site-to-site tunnel is built, because Active Directory disaster recovery is a big issue in a lot of organizations, particularly organizations that are single-site organizations where they don't have multiple locations. By taking advantage of Windows Azure and a site-to-site IPsec VPN tunnel, you can pop a replica domain controller up in Windows Azure on a virtual network and have it join your domain and have a replicated copy that's up to date of Active Directory. That way, if your main on-premise network ever goes down or becomes unavailable, you don't have to worry about going back to tape. You can just have point everybody out to that Active Directory domain controller across a site-to-site tunnel. They can still authenticate, might be a little slower going across your internet connection. And then when you're recovering your servers, you can bring them back up. If you need to reintegrate them into Active Directory and re-promote them, you can, and it'll bring down all of your replicated content from Active Directory running up in Windows Azure back to your on-premise domain controllers. And then after putting Active Directory up in the virtual network, you know, thinking about some of replicated copies of some of your other common core data stores, like using Windows Server DFSR to replicate on-premise file servers up into Windows Azure, using SQL Always On and database mirroring to replicate your SQL data stores from on-premise up into Windows Azure, makes a lot of sense. And having that type of core foundation in Windows Azure being replicated with your core infrastructure back in your on-premise world, you're also preparing Windows Azure for having the right resources to host other applications that you may want to have running in production on Windows Azure, like web applications that need file or SQL database I/O to present through a web application front end, or SharePoint running up in Windows Azure. So it's got a lot of great scenarios that you can start building that leverages the best of both worlds. Remember, that's what we were talking about with hybrid, the best of your on-premise data center with the best capabilities that a public cloud fabric platform has to offer. Well, hey, if you guys would like to try building your Windows Azure virtual network as well, we've got some great news for you. We've got our own Cloud Lab program where we've got a number of step-by-step guides. One of those step-by-step guides walks you through the process of doing exactly what you saw Young and I do in our episode today. Build out a site-to-site VPN network in Windows Azure back to your on-premise site, and then put a replica domain controller out there to begin replicating content. You can take advantage of that and a whole host of other step-by-step guides where you can walk through the build-out of your private cloud lab in our Windows Azure platform by leveraging our Cloud Lab link. When you're ready, just go to akams.com/cloudlab and pick the lab guides that you're most interested in. And if you need any assistance as you're walking through any of those Cloud Lab step-by-step guides, well, every week on Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, we have an Early Experts Virtual Study Hall where you can join us, grab your lunch, join us online in an open forum. You can pick the labs you're most interested in, begin working on those labs, and then as you have questions where you need some additional assistance, Young and myself and our other team of technical evangelists, our other colleagues, are standing by during that virtual study hall to answer your questions through live Q&A. So it allows you to work at your own pace, complete the labs that you would prefer to complete, but still have live assistance when needed to help you be successful in building out those scenarios, building out those configurations. You can join us weekly and learn more about the virtual study hall at aka.ms/virtual study hall. Well, Young, thanks so much for joining us today to talk about building out our hybrid private cloud environment.
Yeah, that's great. You know what? I am going to that virtual lab environment. I'm going to download that procedure. I'm going to test it out. It's great. I love this. Virtual network. Woohoo!
Definitely. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us today for our episode on building our hybrid network infrastructure fabric for our private cloud environment. In our next episode, episode 13 of Building Our Private Cloud, we'll wrap up this series of episodes talking about managing our hybrid cloud environment. You'll get a chance to see some of the System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 components that can be used for managing our virtual machines, our applications, and our cloud fabric, regardless if it's on-premise in our data center or up in Windows Azure, running from our Windows Azure public cloud platform across a site-to-site virtual network. So join us in episode 13. Look forward to seeing you there.